And some people are wondering whether in this synthetic age the artificial elections will displace the real elections. It's very expensive to run elections all over the country, and you've got it done already everywhere in great detail. And some people wonder what that adds to our understanding. It certainly has a curious effect on the electorate, and people think of themselves as sort of agents of a self-fulfilling prophecy, going there to confirm or perhaps show the margin of error of the polls, which television and the press have so much touted.
Well, you have to have an election these days to see if the polls are right.
Exactly.
Walter Cronkite, yesterday, Dan, said that it adds the information that the politicians have already had and simply is now broadcasting them prior to the election and afterwards. Of course, it tells us why we voted as we did, and that's very important information, isn't it?
You know, I would say that television is extremely important. It's obviously important here. You look at almost all the races. We had a campaign that was run on television. You look at the response of young people. This is a television generation. It's all that they know about politics. Their support for Reagan undoubtedly is driven by the image of Jimmy Carter and the country, the hostages on television, and now the image of Ronald Reagan. But don't take this too far, either television or money. I mean, when it comes to the impact of television, we've also got to look at real events. Real income was up, and that probably explains more than anything else why Reagan won. And remember, the Republicans who spent $6 million in the last 2 weeks on television commercials on Congress had a very disappointing campaign. If television were everything, they would have found a Congress that was Republican this morning instead of one where the Democrats really didn't do all that badly. It makes a difference. Money makes a difference. But Jay Rockefeller, who outspent his opponent John Racey for a Senate seat in West Virginia by about 12-1, barely won that race.
Ben Wattenberg, what do you think about this?
Well, and in spite of our negative reporting on this, do you mean real events actually had something to do with this election, Ben?
Surely they did. I mean, as someone was talking about the difference between perception and reality, as all of us who have been in politics know, perception often becomes reality. I think that we authors tend to dwell on what we've written. I have talked in this new book about television drumming home bad news in sort of a staccato drumbeat fashion. The Democratic Party, certainly on the national level, has dwelled on a bad news theme. One of the columnists called the campaign Minnesota Fritz and the Party of Gloom. And that bad news that the Democrats were stressing, male versus female, rich versus poor, black versus white, toxic waste in your backyard, war in Central America, is not the reality of what's going on in America. The Democrats became a bad news party in a good news country, and I think that the people rejected that.
But let me
rejected that image, whether or not that's what the Democrats were really saying, Bill.
But let's wed that to what Norman was saying, that there are real events that affect things, and there are people in this country who really are not well off, who really are poor, who really are black, who really are down and out, are unemployed.
Bill, wait a minute.
Okay. If the Democratic Party makes itself over in the image of Ronald Reagan's party and starts talking only about the good news, what happens to the people who really are in bad straits?
Bill, the issue is not good news or bad news, it is progress. And my research indicates that this is a country that is making headway into headwinds. And for the Democrats to deny that is working against reality, and it denies credibility. Listen, there are poor people in this country. There are elderly people in tragic conditions. There is still discrimination. But to deny that those conditions are getting better, particularly, Bill, as you know so well, particularly after so many years when Democrats have labored to put forth programs to help those people, is saying, you know, in Washington, we try to reduce everything to a bumper sticker.
Norman,
it's saying, we have failed, let us continue. It's silly.
Let's wait, though. We'll talk about realignment or the mandate. Wait till next year or the year after. We may find a different reality, as we've seen in the past with Republican presidents in their second term. And if that different reality, in fact, shows less than progress, a recession, we may find that we're talking about what happened to the Republicans by 1986.
There's another aspect to this, if I could put in a word here, and that is, I think, something that perhaps Ben Wattenberg hasn't sufficiently taken account of. It's another role of television. It is significant that the sharpening of the American conscience, what Ben calls the emphasis on bad news, that sharpening of conscience has taken place when television has come into prominence. And television is able to reveal to us the disparities, the miseries of American life. It was very important in the Vietnam War and remains important. And one of the functions of television can be to remind us of the disparities and the problems. And that's something that that we must take account of when we criticize television for its other roles. This is an interesting contemporaneous trend that we've seen.
No, but the question is, Dan, do they vastly exaggerate that bad news? And my sense is that the commercial emphasis in television demands that they are always going to hype the story and make everything much worse than it seems.
Well, so are the politicians. As Norm Ornstein points out, the negative ads in campaigns are disturbing because they work.